Let's read together Acts 4:43-45, starting with 43. Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Rephaim, figures of what ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out from before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. All right, in verse 43, who's he talking about here? The Israelites, chapter 7, verse 43. Ye, that's the Israelites, those are the people. Where were they at this time when they did this? They were going to Babylon. Well, these were going, before they went to Babylon, where they were going eventually, but where are they here? In Canaan? Yes, but when he took up the tabernacle of Moloch, he turned towards the house of Israel, offered slain beasts. In other words, in the calf, remember in verse 41, that in the wilderness, that's where he is, and probably in the wilderness they took all these phony gods, but probably they started at Egypt. Maybe they started at Egypt to worship them, but at least they had them out there. Where did they learn them? They couldn't learn them in the desert, but they probably learned it in Egypt, brought them over, and continued to worship the star of your god, Remphan, figures to me, to worship him. Can people worship figures? What does God say about him as far as worship? Give him only, and thou shalt make no graven images, right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me, and certainly this was a violation, wasn't it, of the commandment, first commandment. And if you did continue, I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Eventually that did happen, didn't it? When did that happen? Yes, it will. Yes, out came this. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Powder. I read that first in The Chemistry of the Blood by Dr. M. R. D. Hahn, the founder of the radio Bible class. That's what he said in there. That's probably what it was mentioned. Yes. Dan, could you come up and check? I'm not getting any mantle mic at all. It's dead. Would you come and check for me? We've got something. How you doing, son? And Adrian and Nari and Mario. Yes, so they worshipped, and one day God was going to take them away beyond Babylon. So,
okay.
There's something that just doesn't pick up at all. All right, in John, Acts chapter 7. Oh, that's the one that gets in there, but I mean this thing, the recording.
I think your toad is talking.
Yeah. See, I don't know what it is. All right, we've had, yes, Joshua.
I was just saying, I think that too. They're both little quotes from Amos 5:26.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's happened first time in the Lord, and then again they worship
in Babylon.
Right, before they're taken in Babylon. Uh-huh. Well, as judged.
Yes.
So, you know, it's happened in the Lord, and it's happened second time.
Yes, that's good, because that is a quote, as you mentioned, yes, from Amos. Huh?
Amos,
yeah.
5.
Yes, fine. Repeat that, Joshua. Where did this take place? And the wilderness was one, but then also you mentioned in Babylon. 7:42 and 43, 41. Oh, yeah, Josh, you want to...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. That it happened twice, Israel didn't learn the last first time,
mm-hmm.
because once again, it's quoted in Amos 5:5 and 6,
mm-hmm.
So that, you know, Israel first is saved in the wilderness, and also, again, at that time, Liam is preaching,
mm-hmm.
Of course, the judge is carried away into Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's... No, they're talking, that was, Will was talking about the god that they worship in calf, the golden calf in Exodus 32. Yeah. So that was a terrible thing that they did. And then in verse 44, had the tabernacle of witness in which in the wilderness. What was the tabernacle like? What was the purpose of the tabernacle? Why did God have a tabernacle? For worship, all right, dwell among them. And the picture back over there on the top right that Mario hung in the sun a long time ago. And that, I guess, where did we get that? Joshua, you gave it to me. And then Charles Herzig made the frame, so we got all different people working on that. So that's what the tabernacle looked like. It's a big... enclosure. The very center part, top right, is of course the tabernacle itself, and the tent of that's what the tent of meeting. Eventually, they made that, didn't they? And first of all, they had it. Thank you, Dan. It seems to be all right now. Good. Thank you. Yes, Anna. Good. I'm glad you learned this in the class. Her daddy's teaching her because she's homeschooled. She's got a good teacher there. Very good teacher. All right. So the tabernacle and the witness. Who whose idea was that in verse 44? The tabernacle. Moses just made it up out of his own mind. The Lord's idea, as it was, he had appointed. And remember, if you're talking or thinking about reading with us in our Bible reading in Exodus, over and over again, repeatedly, it says, as God commanded Moses, as God commanded Moses.
Moses.
God commanded Moses. God, you know, the Lord commanded Moses. So did he. And so it was a command of the Lord, and it was very definitely part of the Lord's work and Lord's command that he did. So as he appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Now, how did Moses see the pattern of the tabernacle? We're missing Nari, huh? Okay. Oh, that's too bad. Please tell her we're sorry that she's sick, and I'm glad that, huh? Yeah, okay. Well, there's normally they're here, see? But we're sorry that she's sick. So, how did he see this? Fashioned according to what he'd seen. How did Moses see the tabernacle? What did God do? Did he have any pattern? Did he give him any ideas of what it was?
Exactly.
Told him exactly, and told him on the mount. How many days was Moses up there learning about all this? 40 days. And 40 nights, too. That would be a little bit difficult to come back. He didn't commute, did he, off that mountain? He was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Lord gave him a very definite picture. In fact, the temple. Was the temple Solomon's idea or David's idea? How did he get the idea for the temple? The Lord again said that there's a pattern that was shown to him. And you know, one of the things in Dr. Schaefer's Systematic Theology, when I was going to school there in Dallas, the theology book had just been written. And in the theology, he mentioned pattern that God gave for the tabernacle. But you know, in the theology book, he didn't mention that he also had a pattern for the temple. So I made that suggestion to the secretary at that time, Dewey Duncan is his name, and said maybe in another edition they could put that thing in there, because there's a pattern for both, wasn't there? Pattern for both. I don't know, probably not. Who's a little student that doesn't know anything anyhow, just going to school? But I told him anyhow, because I read my Bible. I knew from Genesis to Revelation, and there it was. Well, Dr. Schaefer read his Bible too, I'm sure, but he just left that particular thing out. Let's read then verse 45. We did read that one, didn't we? Which our fathers, also our fathers, brought in with Jesus. Who's the Jesus here? Brought in where? All right, into Canaan, in the promised land. It's another name for Jesus. Jesus is the word here for the Greek word, and that's what it is. But Jesus also is a word like in Old Testament, Jehoshua, or whatever the pronunciation. It's Joshua means a deliverer. It doesn't mean a savior. Joshua's name, and so this is the read. Now, what do the new versions use here instead of Jesus? NIV, NASV, and so on, New King James. They say Joshua. Now, you see, then they say, well, there's a mistake here. No, the thing about it is, the King James Bible translates accurately what the Greek language has to say. And if the Greek language says Elias for Elijah, they put Elias. They translate and transliterate Elias. Now, that's what we have. This says Jesus, it says Jesus, and that's what they translate it. It refers to Joshua. Because he's the one that delivered them. And when in the land, possession of the Gentiles. What does that general word Gentile mean? What does a Gentile mean? Heathen people, that's right. Heathen people, those that are not Christians, not Jews either in the Old Testament, nothing. They're heathen people. The goyim, as they say, and the nations, the ethnos in the Greek language, and goyim in the Hebrew, whom God drove out. Who were all involved with the ones that he drove out? What are some of the names of the nations, these Gentiles? Can you name some? What was the first one? Perizzites, that's right, Perizzites, Jebusites, Hivites, Canaanites, all these Canaanites, Hittites also, see all these ites, now these were all, Hittites? Oh, in the beginning, okay. So all of these different ones, he saw, now these were Canaanite nations. And if you look, notice in Genesis 5 and then Genesis 10, you see that they're, what of the three sons of Noah, what were they? Shem, Ham, or Japheth, the Canaanites. They were descendants of which branch? Of Ham, that's the Hamite. And Ham in Hebrew means burnt, black races. And so the Canaanites were a burnt, black race type of folk. And God in his Old Testament said you should not have any marriages or intermarriages with the Canaanites. And when the people came into the land, he wanted to keep the Shemites, which are the Jews, separate from the Hamites or the Japhethites. So they kept them distinct there. And so they brought out, and God wanted to drive them all out. Did they successfully drive out all the Hites? No, they didn't. Why didn't they? They married some of them, that's true. Why else? They made a treaty, and they refused to do so, that's true. They refused to do so, that takes care of that. They didn't do it, and they could have done it. They didn't drive them out. So Joshua brought them in, and they brought in with Joshua. Now, how did Joshua get into Canaan? Was that easy, or was it difficult? What was the campaign that was there? Anna, since no one else has got an idea, what's the campaign? Well, that was getting into the land over the River Jordan, you mean? Yes, okay. Well, that's true. They went through the Red Sea, but then when they finally went in, Joshua brought him in, and he went across the River Jordan, didn't he? Across the River Jordan. And they went from there over here. They came up apparently this way here and went over across, right? And over the east of Jordan and went in. Was it successful the first or not till the next? What about the battle at Ai? Was that a successful battle? No, successful it wasn't. They didn't do what God told them to do at Ai, so God defeated them. When they did it the right way, they finally went in into the land of Jericho. They took the battle of Jericho. Remember, that's the Negro spiritual. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle. That's what the spiritual says. Yes, Anna? All right, that was the thing. Before they went there to Jericho, they had to circle the city how many times? Seven times, all right? And the seventh time, what are they to do? Blow the trumpets and shout the sword of the Lord, something. I forget what they shouted. Yes, Anna? That's the Gideon. That's a different one. Well, take a look. Joshua chapter, would it be number two or three or four? One day they circled seven times. I think they went around the city, I think it was seven times. So many days. They 7 days, okay. And how many times? Seven times did it, or 7 days? They circled the city 7 days. Chapter 6, 3, 4, and 5. So how many times did they circle the city? Did it say that way? The seventh day they circled. So maybe, yes. Okay, so they circle it 7 days, seven times. Would that be it? And on the seventh day, they had to blow the trumpets and they had to shout something. What did they shout? They just shouted. It doesn't say what they said. When Gideon was in the battle, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, that's when they circled the Midianites. What is that? They what? What did they do? Seven times around. So maybe they went, that's what Dan's trying to say. How many did you get, Dan? Six and seven, 13 times? All right, Dan's right on that. He's a mathematician, you know. So, we got a picture. Oh, that's interesting. Wait till she gets it on the... She's taking the camera there. Well, wait, get the picture first. Okay, wait till she finds it first. Stay right still, she'll pick it up. I don't know. Will, you want to explain what it is? Okay, we got the wall. Okay. What was that house name? Who was living there? Rahab the harlot. That was a promise. But Anna? She helped the two men. That's right. She helped the two men. So it was difficult. And what were they to do the first 6 days as they surrounded the city? Were they to say anything? Absolute silence. That's the most difficult part of this whole journey. Easy to shout, to shut up and be quiet, say nothing. Just think all those people. 600,000, maybe, you know, 1 million, 2 million people surrounded. Huh? Isn't that hard? Isn't that difficult? Is that? Well, they should be trip in silence. That's all. Trip in silence and don't say anything. They just have to not to say anything. So this is a difficult thing. And finally, the wall did come down, and God delivered them through Joshua. And they could have driven them out, but they didn't do it. Let's read verse... Yes, we went to Jericho, and we saw the old city and the new city, different, the old wall. Well, I know, but what do we see there at Jericho? We saw... Well, there's very burdened to Jericho, the city of Jericho, with all kind of trees and all. Because we came in from Ammon, Jordan, which is just desert, you know, coming over from the east down to the west. As we crossed over to Jericho, wherever that may be here, it was just a green trees and everything, beautiful. You know, it was nice and pretty. But you mean the wall of Jericho? They had the old wall, I guess. So. We went to the Jericho wall. There's a lot of trees as we crossed over. I know, because we came from the desert over, and it was really... Yes, Melissa?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Oh, is that right? Do they have an old wall, an old part of the old wall, or is that not right? That's old Jerusalem again. Remnants of the old Jericho wall? Uh-huh. So now they have parts of the wall. Okay. I thought they did, too. Maybe it's not... Maybe our guy didn't show us the right wall.
We walked around the whole
town.
Did he?
Nothing. Not even foundation? Yes, Dan.
I'm not sure if he's there, but all time there, you have knowledge, wrap your mind, mm-hmm. commonly accept there, but scholars don't have to laugh. Boy, I've got
yeah.
an ignorant woke up, for mm-hmm. example, a pillar of all about five mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I know that the synagogue, was it at Capernaum? It was a synagogue of the Cornelius, whatever. They showed us the old ruins of that. And I remember with the guide, when we went into there, he said, don't ruin the ruins. He was a little brogue, you know. So we didn't ruin the ruins. But to be that way, they came in and were successful. Yes. Yeah, that's, well, yes, one of the, I guess I got this too much. I just wonder about it myself. The question, it was a church that's right here close. We were members of it for many years, and the Sunday school teacher said that he didn't believe that Jericho's walls really fell down flat at all. That's just all nonsense. And so people that are in this room decided that wasn't the church they should go to, so they didn't. They left, went somewhere else, and smart move. Right. And I'm not sure, but that may have been the same teacher that went on to another church and was the youth leader of the other church, which some of our people was a different one. Okay. Oh, that was the teacher. I don't know who the teacher was, but biblical. Okay, we don't know who the teacher was. Well, there was some who was a member of a church. They shot somebody close by. Is that right, Vaughn?
Yeah.
In the neighborhood. So, yeah. All right. So, notice it says in verse 45 that God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. And David was the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth king of Israel. Second, okay, who was the first? Saul was the first one until the days of David. All right, let's read verse 46, 47, 48 together. Who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him an house, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. All right, so in what way did David find favor? It says he's found favor before God. What does it say about David in the Old Testament? He's a man after God's own heart. Was David perfect? No. He was a sinner like the rest of us. What was there about David, do you think, that was a man after God's own heart? What was the quality that God put his finger on and then checked? What do you think? Well, he was obedient for the most part. Anything else?
Humble,
all right, for the most part. Faith, yeah. Help Goliath, the faith. That's part of it. $9, that's part of it. See, he was an adulterer. He was a murderer. But there's another quality. I think the quality that most all these things you said are true of David. I think the quality was he was gracious to his enemies. Remember Absalom? When they killed him, he was angry because they killed Absalom. Absalom, my son. Various things. When they slew a righteous man, many times David was against that, even though he was enemies. Remember what he did with that man that cursed him? They wanted to kill him. What was his name? Man that cursed him. Nabal, not Naaman. There's a prophet, Nabal, Abigail. What is it? Not Nabal. That was a different one. Remember that man came out and cursed David. He came into Jerusalem, cursed him. Shimei. That's it. Shimei is the one. All right. Shimei cursed David. And should we kill him? Let's kill him. David said, no. The Lord has told him to curse. See, we'll see what happens. When he just before he died, he told his son Solomon. Now Solomon, here's how to handle Shimei. He cursed me. That's one thing. You tell him to go to his own town, his own city. Stay there. If he ever leaves that town, then you can slay him because he's disobedient. So that's what Solomon did. He stayed there for a few times. Then somebody stole some of his animals or whatever, and he went out after to look for those animals. And Solomon's people saw him out there, and they slew Shimei. But David forgave all these people. You read that as you go through the scripture. And try to figure out what you think is the man after God's own heart. I think it's as God and the Lord Jesus said, love your enemies. He's Satan. David loved his enemies and he was kind to them. That's what God tells us. It's difficult to do. You'll have to have the power of God to love enemies. Yes, that's son? Yes. Yeah. That's another example, isn't it? God's anointed. That's right. He was in his place, so there he was. It's another example, isn't it? Shimei, Saul, Absalom, you know, right down the line, there's all different ones that were rebelling against him, and he was gracious to them and forgave them and so on. Sometimes you forgive people and they stab you in the back, but David, he went right through. Anyway, oh yes, David is tens of thousands, that's right. And so definitely. But as far as certain times, certain enemies, he forgave and he was very gracious. And it was a godlike character, I think, in that way. Can you forgive somebody that still is a sinner? Can God forgive somebody that's still a sinner? Does God forgive people who are still sinners? Yes, we're looking at all of us if we look at each other. Yes, so he's able to do that, and we can do that, but it's difficult for us to forgive. Sometimes we say, I'll forgive and forget. See, well, sometimes I forgive, but don't forget. That's easily. We're not God, so we can't forget. And but he found favor before God. And then what's this verse 46? Desired a tabernacle. What sort of tabernacle was this that he desired? Temple, all right? And then it says in verse 47, who built it? Solomon. Why didn't David build it? Had blood in his hands. And Solomon, what does Solomon mean in Hebrew? Shalom means peace, doesn't it? Shalom. It's peace, Shalom. And he did not have these wars that David had, and therefore God let him do it. But what did David do in preparation for the temple? He got everything ready. He got the gold, he got the silver, he got the materials, and the timbers from far away. He got those and prepared. Then in verse 48, it says, the tabernacle for the God of Jacob. Can you put God in a box? Can you put them in a tabernacle? Can you put them in a big temple? Now, the temple's over here, right? These are on the wall. The top one, is that Herod's temple? Is the bottom one Herod's temple? What's the top one, Joshua? Both are Herod's temple, for a different angle. It looks different, doesn't it? But there's the temple. Now, the temple is similar to the tabernacle, but it's more grandiose, it's greater, it's got a lot more furniture, different things. But can God dwell in the temple or tabernacle, either one? No. Can he dwell in a church building? How can you contain God? There's no way to contain. Where does God dwell today? In the bodies of saved people, believers, regenerated people, the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. That's what says we are the temple of the Most High God. Is that it? All right, sometimes he does come down, but that's his presence, isn't it? That's not his full person. That's his presence manifestation. Yeah, Tammy? Mm-hmm. All right. He dwells not in a temple made with hands. That's what it says, because our bodies are not made with hands. They're made from birth. So in that sense, but he certainly, as you say, cannot be contained. God is not. He's immense. He has an immensity, and he is omnipresent and omnipotent, omniscient. Yvonne? His presence was there. Yes, that's right. His presence was there. How did he evidence his presence in the tabernacle? What is it? Shekinah glory, all right? And at night, when he led them through the wilderness, how was his presence manifested? Fire at night, in the daytime, cloud by day. So his manifestation, but was that God completely? No, that was just a manifestation of his power, his presence, his dwelling. But he is immense. He couldn't be contained. But, yes, Joshua.
I have a question. What do you think about some people feel that the Lord pre-incarnate Christ was actually dwelling in Milpasia Tabernacle? Do you have any thoughts?
Well, I think that the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ was certainly the angel of the Lord. I think that was the angel of the Lord is a member of the Trinity. Was it the Father? Was it the Son? Was it the Holy Spirit? And we believe it was the Son. And that's proved. And I think that he was in that cloud, the Lord Jesus Christ, because it says in the reading a couple days ago, it says, Moses said, if thy presence doesn't go with us, carry me not out hence. If thy presence does not go with me, with the people, carry me not hence. And then he said, I will not go with you, God said, probably the Father. I will send mine angel. Because if I went free, you wouldn't be able to stand. I would really cut you off because God was very angry at many of the sins. So I will send mine angel, see. And I think the angel of the Lord was the angel that was there, and I think he was the rock that followed them, and the water came out of the rock, and that rock was Christ. I think certainly the pre-incarnate Son of God could very definitely have been the angel that was there and the presence that was there.
I kind of think that also the angel, Lord, you don't see mentioned at tabernacle, as well the tabernacle and temple are established. He's not mm-hmm. mentioned that data, so mm-hmm. the Spirit is on the mystery, he's not the Bible. Never mentioned quite in that line, so that's why I kind of lead to that. You know,
yeah, I think that certainly is proper.
And he filled all the sacrifices.
Right. Yes, I think that, and I think he was there in Melchizedek, the priesthood of Melchizedek. That's why he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That was the king of Salem, the king of righteousness. And he was there. The Lord Jesus was there in pre-incarnate state. And the scriptures aren't as clear as other things, but I think that we can say that because he said, before Abraham was, I am. And therefore, he's right there in that spot. He was before. He was there in his eternal being and presence. All right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Not in the temples made with hands. He dwells in bodies, saved people. Yeah, he was, but part was there, not his completeness, not his permanent. Nor was it his complete residence, complete person, in other words. But you remember, as I was about to say, in the New Testament, he's everywhere. That's right. So he's not simply there. That's omnipresence. But what I was about to say, but when the Lord Jesus Christ was sent, that's God with us, Emmanuel, and that's in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. See, now there's the bodily in the incarnation. That's where we have God the Son indwelling. Now, is that body going to be stopped in eternity? Or is that going to be continued, his resurrected body? His resurrected. He's going to be continued. That's right. We're going to have still God manifest in the flesh in bodily form, his resurrected body, just as the disciples saw him and could touch him if they wish, speak to him, because on we will have the communication with God the Son. Yes, sir, Melissa? Well, I'm not sure. I know that from the tabernacle in the Ezekiel's temple, they left the glory and went somewhere else. The cloud went, and I don't know about this temple. Yes, destroyed in 70 AD or so. That not stone left another. Is that what you mean, Melissa, that destruction of the temple,
no.
Herod's temple?
The
second temple. I don't remember that verse. I know it says in the Hosea, there'll be many days without a priest, without a sacrifice, without an offering, so on. And this certainly is the case now. They didn't have the sacrifice in that thing. So the sacrificial temple was gone, wasn't it? And so from that standpoint, it certainly wouldn't have his stamp of approval. Ezekiel's temple. Now, I had a question. One of our ladies was a video lady asked me, called up, there's concerns. She said, we're reading Ezekiel. It says Ezekiel's going to have more sacrifice, blood offerings. Is that what's going to happen? I said, yes, that's what's going to happen. She said, well, how can that be? Because Christ died once for all in one offering. I said, as the offerings of the Old Testament pointed forward to Calvary's cross, so their offerings point backward, not that they're offerings in order to be saved, but point backward to Calvary as the other offerings forward. So the Jews and the sacrificial system and shedding of blood will commence again in the tabernacle of the millennial temple. Devon? Yes. Yes, that was in Ezekiel, I believe, in Ezekiel. The cloud first moved from one place, then to the side of the temple, then north, and finally left. Yeah. That is the movement of the cloud, the movement of the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord went from place to place. And then also, you remember in Eli's day, when the tabernacle was there, you remember he named his son what? Ichabod. See, as the glory was departing. That's what Ichabod. Ich means no, and Chavod is glory. No glory. See, so there's a lot of things in Scripture about the glory has departed and no glory. Yes, Anna? Will we still be able to see the nail prints in his hand? I believe he will. I think that's where the two on the road to Damascus and Emmaus were able to recognize him in the breaking of bread. They saw, wait a minute, the scars. See? And then their eyes were opened that they would see and know him. And so I believe that's true. Now, Mr. Camping doesn't agree with that. I've heard Mr. Camping say several years ago, the Lord Jesus has a perfect body, no scars, no scars, nothing. See, but the Lord Jesus, what did he say to Thomas? Put your hand and look at the print and the nail, the side, put your hand, thrust in my side. So that body will still be there. The only imperfect body in heaven, apparently. Ours will be glorified, perfect. His will be with the scars. Yes, yes. And that's right, Acts chapter 1, the first part. Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. That's right, the angels told him that. So it'll be like manner, same body, hadn't changed. The resurrected, glorified body. So, not dwelleth in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. And then let's read verse 49 to 51. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not God my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. So in verse 49, where is his throne? All right, heaven. So that would be the first heaven, second heaven, or third heaven? Yes, John? I suppose that would be it. Zerubbabel, rehash of the other, renovated of Zerubbabel's. All right, yes, Anna? Yes, that would be the temple. Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple. Solomon's temple was first, then Zerubbabel rebuilt it. Now, is that called a second temple, or is that the second one? All right, they rebuilt the walls and all in Ezra and Nehemiah's time. And then Herod just added to it. Is that it? Just built it up, and that's still the same. It's called Herod's temple, so it sounds like it's a third temple, doesn't it?
Well, from Zerubbabel's time, what is called the second temple?
Second temple, yeah. So, yes, Lois Ann? Oh, okay. So, the millennial temple, Ezekiel's temple, will be a different temple completely. So he doesn't dwell in hand, and the heaven is his throne, and the earth is my footstool. And so what house will you build me? Was the Lord against this house, or was he for the house? Temple. Did he tell David it's all right? Did he discourage David? Did he discourage Solomon? All right. David made preparation, but the Lord was pleased with that. So, but what is this house? Will you build me? The Lord, what the place of my rest? So it wasn't a perfect place for the Lord, but it was a place for God's people to worship him, I guess. And his presence certainly in the Old Testament was there, and very definitely was there in the tabernacle as he carried them from place to place in the wilderness. But it's not where God dwells. That's not his permanent house. And then in verse 50, does God need any of us to make things for him? On the contrary, what is true in verse 50? Yes. What else in verse 50? He's the potter or the clay. His hands have made all things. Now, what things is he talking about here? Everything. The heavens, the stars, the planets, the earth, all the grass, the trees, the whole thing that works, the animals, insects, people. Yes, Anna? Raw materials of that. All right, that's true. I'm not sure whether that's a pure metal, but if it is a pure metal, he made the raw materials. I don't know whether it's meshed in and so on and so forth, but still got the raw materials. Yeah, yeah. So, in other words, there's some things combined and so forth. But, yes. Well, I'm not a metallurgist, nor the son of a metallurgist. But. Yeah. Right. So God did create all the elements, all how many we have. What is it, 92? What are the elements? How many? 92 natural elements. Yes, Tom. Yes. And you remember Zerubbabel's temple, some of the old timers that had known temple were crying and said, oh, it's not anywhere near what it used to be. Solomon's temple. See, that's in the, as they rebuilt it, Ezra and Nehemiah. So, yeah, it's entirely seemed the way it was. So my hand made all things. It's certainly people today don't believe that, do they? Many people don't believe that God is the creator of all things. This interesting, President Bush quoted from a scripture in Isaiah. I looked it up and forgot where the reference was. He didn't quote the King James on it. He said, by all the things of the heavens, he names and put the name of them, and they still stay the same. Something that, it's either Isaiah 26:20, Isaiah 20:26. It's something in the 46:20, something like that. Is there 46:20? I looked it up, but I forgot it. It has to do with the creation and the creator. I didn't know that I liked what he said, the next phrase, where he said, we can pray that they may all be home. Well, you can't pray that be home. It's too late to pray that they be home because we don't pray for the dead. See, he did make that statement. At least it was better than the people that spoke at the 9/11 calamity, where time after time they said, they're all in heaven. Everybody, you know, just a blanket statement. At least he says we can pray that, song. Is it 46:20 of Isaiah? Huh? No. Okay, that's what my key word is. Creator, name. I put my name there. Name or names. Name or name. Well, 20, it's 20, 46. I should have memorized the reference and I didn't. Well, maybe 2046. Is there such an animal? Seems like it was 46 something. Because we were in 48. May not be 20. There's no 20. Is there anything at all in 46 that has to do with the creation? He calleth them all by names and he knows them and declaring the end from the beginning. Yeah, name or names. Yeah. All the stars. He nameth all the stars. If he knows the stars of the names, he certainly knows the names of the people that were there. Well, I put it under name, but the computers are nice when you can look it right up and find it. Anna? See, the land of the King James, what is it? It's who? A verse? Look under, not one of them faileth. That's the word. If they have it, they may not even have it there. See, their his translation, not one of them will pass away or something. No, not one faileth. Well, it's a name. No, but keep it going on the name or names. See, some of these... keep it going. 43. Is there anything? Anything? 46? Is that 46? Where? Ah, I have the 26 right. 40, 26. All right, read it for us there, Lois. That's exactly it. Isaiah 40, verse 26, our president quoted from. But a different version. See? No, I didn't compare. But the NIV, NASB, I'm not sure. The what? See, I know that the last word faileth, not one of them shall pass away, or some other, you know, synonym for that. See, it was fairly close, but yes, it was nice to hear scripture.
Reference.
Exactly. It was a good, and yeah. Oh yes. We all thought it was. Lift up your eyes on high. He created these things that bring their host to be number. Calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might. So all the things and the stars certainly he calls them by names. He knows the names of the seven. So, all right. So we've covered that in our testimony. My hands made all these things. All right. Let's read 51 to the end of the 51 to 53 rather, beginning at 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been the mere betrayers and murderers, who hath received the law by the disposition of angels, and have not kept it. All right, verse 51. Who's preaching here? What's his name? Stephen. He's going to meddling here, isn't he? What does stiff-necked mean? Stubborn, all right. What is it? Rebellious? Okay. Uncircumcised in heart. Circumcision was a right given to whom? The Jews, through Abraham. They're starting right in there. That was a sign to the Jews from the Lord. A sign from the Lord, and it was practiced first by Abraham, wasn't it? Given to Abraham as a sign. But the circumcision in heart would be what? Faith, the cleanness of heart, and straight worship and all the other things that are there. Uncircumcised in heart. Those, what did the Jews think of uncircumcised people? Gentiles, what did they think of them? Heathen. They didn't have any association. In fact, you remember in John chapter 4, the woman of Samaria? Why did the Jews normally go to the east of Jordan and then back west and skirted Samaria? Why did they do that? Why didn't they go straight from the south up north, right through Samaria to go to the north? Why did they go east and then over and then back west? They were a mixture, half and half. For the ones that came from from Babylon. As they came back, they brought some of them, intermarried, so they were mixtures from Babylon all the way back, and so they were half-breeds, and therefore they went over here and up this way and then back over west. Because it says in John 4, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They didn't want any part, but Jesus must needs go through Samaria. What does that tell us about the Lord Jesus? Was it? He came for the heathens as well as the Jews and everyone. And he got that woman, wicked woman, wasn't certainly a fashion plate or any other kind of plate, wanted to lead her to know Christ and salvation. So, stiff neck now serves as in heart and ears. What's different between your heart and your ears? I'd listen before you hear. See, in other words, uncircumcised meaning just an unholy thing, like a Gentile heathen person. Heathen in your heart, heathen in your ears. The ears must be tuned to listen to God's word. Am I right? Can the unsaved person really understand Scripture? It says that they receive not the things of the Spirit of God, the natural man. They're spiritually discerned, spiritually understood. And so the ears have got to be made live. And the heart can't be a wicked heart, it's uncircumcised. Then in verse 51, what does Stephen say in regard to the Holy Spirit here? What did the fathers do? Resist. Can people resist the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost today? Yes. What manifestations are made when one resists? Unbelieving. Refuse to trust Christ. Refuse to accept Him as Savior and Redeemer. And then he says, as your fathers did. They were following the fathers. Did the fathers resist the Holy Ghost as well? Yes. In the wilderness, the Lord wanted to do this and they resisted. In fact, the Lord was so angry with the Israelites, wasn't he? So many times. They resisted him, and that's why the book of Hebrews says, if you hear his voice, answer and be not disobedient and stiff-necked as your fathers, because they really resisted many, many places, many times. Do you think the Jews listening to this appreciated verse 51? Do you like to be called a name, if it's a bad name, Giovanni? All right. Yes, he that oft reproved hardeneth his neck, stiff neck, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Yeah, I remember that verse years ago also. It's a good one, 29:1 of Proverbs. And so they didn't appreciate this. Unbending, uncircumcised, or resisting the Holy Ghost, just as the fathers did. So what's the sad thing? We're going to stop right here at verse 51, but do you have any other comments before we continue? Yes, Matt? No. That's a good stiff answer. No more comments. Anna? That's good. That's a good comment. No more comments. The tapes are clicked soon. And we're going to go on and 4 o'clock going up to Allentown, my wife and I, for a meeting up there. So we're ready. Yes, John? Against gays. That's right, in Pennsylvania. You can't preach against the homosexuals. That's right, like we just talked. Yeah, Dan.
In fact, it's not gay, certainly, you fall against it. Uh-huh. But it hinges on the interpretation whether or not that's on them. Mm-hmm. But here, mm-hmm. cover everything going up, following the person that hates name, but
yeah.
keep up. Yeah. Preaching the Bible, the person doesn't like
yeah. It's interpretation. Yeah, that's right. But they've twisted many times and so on.